Thank you, Lord. I believe he's even doing something now on people right here now. I can feel his presence, just waves of his anointing. I just believe he wants you to prepare your heart. It's like there's a rocket ready to lift off and the countdown's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Get ready because it's coming. Get ready because it's coming. Get ready because it's coming. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, come, come. Do something radical today, Lord. Wreck us, hallelujah, for this world. Lord, equip us afresh, Father God, for the work of ministry. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, I just want to stay here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you, Toby. This is Toby's church, Life Church, and he's Pastor Toby, and he's allowed us this venue, and we're just so blessed. So can we give him a clap? Hallelujah. Honor him as a man of God and for his kingdom heart, amen, and just opening this place up to us today. So we're going to have fun. Look, I just want to welcome everybody. You can be seated. So I thank you for coming. This is an exciting day. It's going to be a day that's going to change your life if you'll let it. Did you hear that? It's an exciting day. It's going to change your life if you let it. Amen. It's your choice. Jesus says, I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you into an encounter. Inviting you into a fresh revelation of his love. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you. We've got three great speakers here tonight, or today. There's Don McDonnell, who's going to speak tonight, who's an amazing man of God. He's an evangelist, who's an accomplished, mature man of God. He's planted church. He's got a church of about 600 in Auckland, and he's an astounding man of God. And I want to encourage you, for tonight's meeting, I want you to get on your cell phones, get on your Twitter, get on your Facebook, get on your, there's something else here I don't quite know, what is it called? Your hashtag, and hashtag the power of presence, is that right? Yeah, that's the one. I want you to use every media opportunity you've got, amen, to get out there and invite people to come. I believe you will see souls saved tonight if you can bother to go and ask people, amen. So whoever's got a phone here today, has everybody got an iPhone or some sort of smartphone? Come on, we'll use it today. Invite somebody to come. Go on Facebook, lunchtime, go on whatever. Get photos through the middle of this and send them out there that we might get a harvest, amen. Because I'll tell you what, the harvest is ripe. He's just waiting for us to respond, amen. So I want to encourage you tonight. This morning we've got Dennis is speaking first. I'm having another go in the afternoon. Don's next. But what I want to encourage you, it's going to be each one of us is going to complement the other because the Holy Spirit's building this thing together. And he's put something here today specially to empower you and equip you to do the work of ministry. Amen. I just want to really encourage you. Also, in your bag you'll find there's a form for conference DVDs. Who hasn't got a bag? Everybody got a bag? Well, in there, there's a form, and you can order the DVDs for this conference, and I encourage you to get a hold of them. I encourage you to get a hold of them. I'll send them out to other people, send them to other church friends, send them to other churches, send them to whoever, and just get people hearing the word, amen, because the word will bring life. There's an anointing on these messages. Hallelujah. So are you excited? Are you excited? Come on, I got somebody. We've got one. We've got to rise. Anybody got to rise on the woohoo on that side of the stadium? Yeah, we've got something going over here. Come on. We're breaking through. Hallelujah. For the parents that are here today, we've got a room for the children. But last night, we had a little bit of a meltdown in there. It got out of control. The place looked like a bomb had hit it. So in order to honor Toby here, we've got to make sure that if you've got children, that you'd make sure that you took some responsibility, make sure you left a responsible adult there. You didn't just lock them in and push the door shut. Amen. That's not really responsible parenting. Okay, so encourage you. There's an amazing facility out there for the children. Be excited, amen? Be excited. I just want to, I'm given the privilege of introducing Dennis. And just while I was sitting here before, the Lord gave me a scripture, and I really felt to just speak it out over us today. It's 2 Chronicles 2:20, and it says this, if I can find it on here. Believe the Lord. I've lost it. It's gone off my page. Believe the Lord. Hallelujah. Where have I gone? Here we go. I know it's here. I hit it 2 minutes ago. Here we go. Believe the Lord your God, and so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and so you shall prosper. I'll say that again, because this is a challenge to all of us today. Believe in the Lord your God, and so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and so you shall prosper. I just feel this is a word for Dennis, because last night when he was sharing, He said Don McNinnell had given him a word that he was going to be evangelist to the nations. And even at that stage, he didn't even understand what an evangelist was, but he believed the word. And what I'm noticing, son, is as you believe the word, God is establishing you, and the prosperity is going to chase you down. I want to say kingdom increase is coming, and I'm just honored to be walking alongside you. And I know this is only the beginning of greater things to come. You know, this man has trumpeted a call for evangelism over this nation. He got Reinhard Bonnke in last year. Hallelujah. When everybody said you couldn't, he got him in. Amen. He's bringing Yongyi Cho next year, is that right? I mean, this guy is opening big doors to bring influence into our nation. So I just want to honor him, and I'd like you to just give him a clap today as he comes forward onto the platform.
Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. Oh, it's so good to be here today. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm excited that you guys are here. Thank you for coming. Want to honor you. Thank you again, Toby. Man, I just love you, bro. We've got a bromance going on. I mean, you know, it's pretty... My wife's a little worried, I think, but that's okay. I am super excited about partnering with all of you guys here today, believing something great, not only for your life, but for the city, for this nation, and for the nations. I believe this is a cataclysmic event. I really do. I believe there's at least going to be one person here that's going to lay a hold of some principles, just one little thing that's been said, and it's going to revolutionize your life. I tell you what, 3 years ago I brought over a guy called Mike Francine, and he's led 11 million people to the Lord. He's planted 620 churches. Hundreds of thousands have received their miracles in his meetings. And I brought him over. I asked him to come. He said, yes, he came over. And I had him for 3 weeks, and we traveled the nation. And he didn't know this, but I was at a point of quitting the ministry. Once this was done and dusted, I'd had enough. I was gone. I was sick of all the issues that happened in ministry. I was sick of struggling. I was sick of not seeing the miracles. I was sick of just being sick off. If you've ever gotten that far, you know that's pretty bad. And so he came over, and he wasn't like other speakers that I'd had before, because I'd brought over other speakers, and they do their darndest to get away from you, man. They'll lock themselves in their room. They won't talk to you. They'll sleep in the car. They'll do everything just to avoid you. It's like you've got a bad smell or something. And so, but Mike wasn't like that. He spoke destiny into me. For those next 3 weeks, he taught me everything he knew about ministry. Everything that he has ever been taught. He's been taught by T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Copeland, John Osteen, and he taught me all the principles he knew. And there was just one word that I got from him after all that he taught me. He said this: the miracle settles the issue. And that's all I got from him. And that was enough to revolutionize my life. A miracle settles the issue. You can, because at that stage I was out street preaching, and I was out annoying the poor old people on a Saturday morning at something, and I'd always get snot face atheists. No, not all snot face. If you're an atheist in there, we love you today. But and they'd come up and argue with you and all sorts, so I'd argue apologetics to them. You know, I'd say, sorry for our faith. That's not apologetics, by the way. It's another bad joke. But I was arguing, really, about the faith and defending the faith. And I kicked my water. But I never get anywhere with people. And then one day I got a hold of the principle because of Mike Francine spending that time. A miracle settles the issue. I decided to do something just a little bit different. Instead of arguing, I wanted to love them, bless them, and if they were sick, pray for them. And I tell you what, I've got some freaked out atheist friends today. They still don't want to believe, but they know, don't mess with Dennis, because if you're sore, you're going to get healed, because what he believes works. And that's exciting. Well, I'm just going to pray, and we're going to get into this session. I'm excited about this session. Man, I'm excited. Perhaps I shouldn't have had that bottle of V just before. I might get a little too excited, huh? There's a rafter up there. Anyway, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that your love is so good, so intoxicating, that you love us so much that you sent your son, Jesus, you came, you died, you rose again, and you gave us resurrection life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you move in power. I pray that you open up ears and open up hearts. Father, I pray for that one person today to get a hold of just one principle that will change the course of history. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, it's pretty amazing the last 12 years since I've been a Christian. It's pretty amazing. I've gone from an absolute coward to speaking in front of thousands, seeing thousands of people saved, thousands of people healed, doing some pretty out there stuff, right? And I just wanted to, and I've always wondered what makes that thing happen. And one day I was reading the Bible and I came across a bit of scripture in 1 Samuel 14. And the story is really amazing. It's about a plucky young king's son and an armor bearer and who go out without telling mummy or daddy that he's going to go and take on a whole army by himself, and he's victorious. And in that story, I saw shades that I think are really important for us as Christians that we should kind of want to be like. And there's some points out of that story that I want to share because it's so true for my life. And I believe if you start kind of walking in that, defining your culture around a spirit of faith, which this guy had, you will start to see greater miracles, greater breakthroughs, just greater everything. You know, I've been a Christian 12 years, and in that space I've been told that I was no good, I'd never amount to anything. I had everybody try to hold me back, but I refused to believe what people thought of me, and I chose to believe what God thought of me. You see, quite often we allow people's opinions to define who we are. And especially here in Christianity, we want to get the pastor's approval. Toby, can you make this happen for me? And we dump it on the poor guy. And we make it his responsibility because we feel so insecure about ourselves. We're not sure. We see great leaders as our doorway to success in Christianity or seeing great things in God, when really it's about us taking responsibility for our own faith. Because the moment we take responsibility for our own walk, our own faith, and stuff like that, God honors that. He says, there's a man, there's a woman I can trust. He's not going to go run around. He's not going to go cry when the going gets tough, but he's going to get stuck in. And this is what I see in 1 Samuel 14. Nothing compels God to move more than you taking him at his word. That to me is faith, actually, taking God at his word. You know, we've got scriptures about faith, but to me, faith is really just seeing it in the book and proving it in your life. I believe that's faith. And so in 1 Samuel 14, we see this. And I suppose if I was going to have a point, for my first point, it would be vision waits for nobody. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come over here, let's go out to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Has anyone ever, as a teenager, snuck out and not told your mum or dad, you know, like gone out partying or gone out, okay, we're in a church, gone out to a church service without telling your parent? You're right. Okay, so, you know, this is a little bit defiant. Here's something interesting. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gilbeth under a pomegranate tree. There were about 600 men, free who were priests, or were from relatives of priests, and they were wearing an ephod. There's one wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, who was a son of Eli. So Eli was like the Lord's priest. And no one was aware that Jonathan had left. I find it interesting that Saul was underneath a pomegranate tree. Why the heck would you say that? Have you ever seen a pomegranate tree? No, not here in New Zealand. Well, these things, I had to Google it, you know, like, what's a pomegranate tree? What's going on here? Why? Because that's quite a major thing, you know. If it wasn't important, it would have just said tree. But it was a pomegranate tree. These things are massive, and they got big pomegranate fruit. And actually, a pomegranate fruit. There's a symbol behind the pomegranate, okay? All right, so this is important. It is a symbol of prosperity and ambition. So Saul, the king, is underneath a pomegranate tree. Why? Because he's ambitious, he's had success, and he wants more. So he's stationed himself underneath a symbol of success. There was also 600 men. This is a powerful warring army. You can do some serious damage with 600 men. All ready to go. Yeah, we're going to cut some dudes' heads off. And, you know, and it also symbols protection. Saul had protection around his ambitions and success. And then there was the ephod, which the priests would often wear an ephod. It was kind of like your holy garb. It's kind of like today's Chuck Taylors, skinny jeans, you know. Oh, wait, oh no, I didn't put the skinnies on. That's all right. And, you know, it's kind of like was the breastplate and stuff like that. It was an important piece of clothing. And the priests would often go into battle with the army. And the Ark of the Covenant would be there as well. So it was a symbol of God's protection. So at camp, there was prosperity. At camp, there was protection with men. And then at camp, there was God. He was hanging out at camp, according to their mind. There was protection. There was the pastor in the house. God was with them. And Jonathan, I find it interesting, had enough guts to leave the place of prosperity, ambition, protection, the four walls of the church without telling a single soul. You gotta understand that this is a big deal. This is King's son. Now, how many of you know that the king's son is the next valuable thing to the king? It is pretty valuable. Jonathan is doing something so radical here. This is very radical because he knows in his mind that if he goes missing and someone goes, "Where's Jonathan?" and they're going, oh, he's gone, all hell's going to break loose in that camp because I think the enemy would have stolen him. This is risky stuff. But I want to tell you that vision waits for no one. Jonathan had a vision. Hey, let's go out and go tackle some Philistines. You know, that's some pretty radical vision. Those Philistines were nasty people, man. They'd poke your eyes out, make you work the treadmill. Maybe I need a few rounds, I don't know. But, you know, it's kind of a bit like that. And they were pretty full on. And so Jonathan, in his mind, is doing something completely stupid. It's totally daft. But if you want to see God move powerfully in your life, you must become totally dependent on God. You can't allow your church to carry you. You can't allow your Christian friends to lift you up. You can't allow the worship or your pastor. You must grow a dependency on God by yourself to see great things in this nation. Your pastor can only take you so far. As a new pastor, been doing this for 5 months, I realize I can only take my congregation so far before it's just like, I can't take you any further. You've got to grow up. And as Christians, we've got to grow up. We've got to grasp that the worship will only take you so far. The worship will only take you a little way into the presence. It's about you building the presence in your life. Hashtag power and presence. Okay, all right, get on that Instagram and get ready. Your church can only carry you so far. You can have as many conferences as you want. You can go to many events, get the willies and the jollies and the shakes and the wakes and all the rest of it, and that's cool. But it'll only take you so far. There's got to be a point where you take ownership on your faith. Take ownership on your beliefs. And go out and do. You see, Jonathan was the king to be in the thinking of the camp. You know, okay, well, obviously Saul thought, well, he probably had whispers to Jonathan. And he said, okay, Jonathan, I'm king. Guess what? You're next in line. You know, this is going to be awesome. And then, of course, something happens. David gets anointed to be the next king. But still, probably in Saul's heart, he was hoping that Jonathan would be a king somewhere, someday. And so there was all that. And Jonathan could have just relaxed, ate some grapes and some pomegranate fruit, and just sat back with Dad and drunk a little bit of wine and just had a toasty time by the fire in the king's tent. But Jonathan knew that if he was ever going to achieve something in his life, he had to take ownership in his own destiny. We are people that make our own destiny. Yes, God's predestined us to great things, but if we don't take ownership of that, if we don't get a hold of the prophetic in our lives, if we don't get a vision, we will never, ever go from where we are to where God wants us to be, which is fulfilling that destiny. My second point would be this: don't do it alone. It's interesting that Jonathan took someone along with the for a ride. He had an armor bearer. And I want to point this out. This was a young armor bearer. Again, why would it say young armor bearer if it didn't matter? It's trying to get you to see the picture here. It wasn't an experienced armor bearer. It wasn't someone that had been into war many times. He was a young armor bearer. He would have been a teenager. He would have been under 20. Any under 20 raucouses around here? Down the back row. How old are you guys? Eh? I could have told you that because I didn't raise your hand. Rebellious youth. It's like, any under 20-year-olds? No. But anyway, this armor bearer, he was a freshman. He was the new boy on the block. He didn't really know the rules because the rules were this: if king's son does something stupid, tell king. Don't let him do it. Tie him to the ground. But he was so young and so inexperienced, he thought, well, this could be cool. This will be an adventure. You know, what could happen? But you see, some of us become like old armor bearers. When pastor or when someone that we want to help and build and go with or our husbands or wives or whatever say, I've got a vision from God and I believe we should do this, we could become like an old armor bearer who gets all cynical and, you know, a bit long in the tooth. Oh, I've heard that all before. God can't do that. You know, you've tried that. You failed. You're terrible. You're useless. You know, don't go do that. Or we could hear something from the leaders in our church saying, we want to do this and it's going to be great. And you just sit back and go, oh, yeah, right, whatever. You know, it didn't work last time. But we need to become, if we are in a place of an armor bearer, and I'm an armor bearer to my wife, and she is to me, we kind of swap roles. And I'm always, if Melissa has a dream, I'm like, awesome, how is this going to work? Let's facilitate it. You know, in our new church, she says, I want to go and deliver muffins to everybody in Fairfield. I'm like, honey, go get a job, because that's expensive. But we're thinking about ways on how we can make muffins for everybody in Fairfield, all 10, 20,000 of them. But we just want to go out there and show the love of Jesus. And I'm so proud and so all behind her. Yes, let's go. Let's possess this. Let's go do something like this because it's in her heart. We must be encouraging the people that God's put around us to do great exploits for God. If there is need to be a little bit of wisdom, then be gentle with it. Do not go and stab them in the heart and tell them you're stupid. That's not good. You know, an armor bearer is a grisly job, but a unique one. In Scripture, the armor bearer was a bearer. I'm thinking about strawberries. Okay, an armor bearer was the servant who carried additional weapons for the commanders. In other words, they carried something different. If your armor bearer or person who encourages you carries the same gift, same dresses the same, walks the same, talks the same, does the same, it's no good for you. Seriously. Because what will happen is they will become a blind spot for you instead of becoming the open spot, instead of carrying something additional. So maybe a different gift. Maybe, you know, you could be hanging out with, you're an evangelist. You like to be encouraged by other evangelists, but get a prophet alongside of you. That will rock you up. Get someone that's got a different gifting around you. I mean, Jeff and I and Graham, we started up this church, Authentic Church. Jeff's a raving lunatic evangelist and I'm the nice evangelist, so we're a little bit different. And then Graham's a worship leader, prophetic guy, and you know, that it's different. And we see each other's blind spots and we have each other's back. That's the same with an armor bearer, I guess. That spiritually speaking, armor bearers, we've got each other's back, we've got a different weapon, and we can help each other out in times of need. You have to kill people as an armor bearer. You know, when they went into war and old Saul would knock someone on the head, the job wasn't finished. It was the armor bearer's job to go in there with something else and just bludgeon them to death. Isn't that cool? What kind of spiritual thing can we say about that? Well, maybe when Jeff has prayed for someone and they're only half healed, I jump in there and finish the job. I don't know. I mean, be bold and courageous and get in there and do something. If you want to have someone's back, you've got to really have their back. Don't go, well, that was stupid. You only got it half done, mate. Go, okay, I'll finish the job. All right? And so that's the armor bearer. Always take someone with you because you are not the whole man. You're not the whole deal, man. We complete each other. You know, recently I've been looking into this whole thing of individual salvation and what the Bible actually says about this whole thing. And as I studied through, it had to do more with community transformation than it did with individual salvation. The idea of individual salvation only came into the church in the 1400s. The sinner's prayer is about 100 years old. Altar calls, 150. We love altar calls. I love altar calls. But you tried that on 200 years ago, they would have called you a heretic. Or I come forward and receive the Holy Spirit and someone throw a dead cat at you or something. It's like they used to treat heretics bad. Now, bad then. You know, nowadays they just make a website against you. You know, back then they try to kill you. And, you know, it was pretty awesome. But anyway, my third point would be this. Just faith it. In verse 4 it says this, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. Not New Zealand type of cliffs. Well, unless you go down between Taupo and Napier, those type of cliffs. If you've ever seen those, 200 meter sheer drops into nothing. Oh, that's awesome fun down there. I tell you. And so he was going down through these cliffs. One was called Boaz and the other Senan. One cliff stood towards the north and the other towards the south. And Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder us from the Lord's saving, whether it be many or by few. I find it interesting that it was only now that Jonathan gave the armor bearer a clue on what he was doing. Maybe they thought they were only going out for a walk. And maybe you're a little bit frustrated with some leaders in your church or leaders around you or some friends because they just go off in faith, but they haven't told you the picture yet. Well, they didn't really know until they were out and God gave them kind of a revelation. Oh, that seems like a great idea. There's two of us versus a couple hundred. Win-win. Win-win. That's going to be awesome. So Jonathan says, come on, let's go over to those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Perhaps, maybe, says one scripture. And this has been the story of my Christian walk for the last 12 years. Maybe. Maybe the Lord is with me, I'm not sure. Toby, everything that I've ever done in this Christian walk has been on a maybe. It's never been on a certainty. I hate certainties. You see, I come, maybe this is why. Where I came from was harness racing, horse racing. And I was a bit of a gambler, you know. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money. Okay, sing song with Dennis today. But seriously, my whole life has kind of been a gamble. And everybody likes to play it safe. I spoke to one of the leading pastors in New Zealand, and he was telling me that this was many years ago, and he was telling me, Dennis, I do not do anything unless I have a certain word from God. And I may have been young, perhaps a little bit bullheaded. I said, well, that's not faith. Because faith takes us beyond the boundaries of knowing and to trusting God at his word. That is faith. From the boundaries of knowing what's going to happen to trusting God at his word. He said that we will prosper. He said that we will overcome. The greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. All of the power of heaven is in us. Every single good gift from God resides in us, because the Bible says the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. What is that Spirit? Well, it's the same Spirit that spoke and created the universe. It is that same Spirit that breathed in a handful of dirt and created man. It is that same Spirit that spoke and the heavens opened and the earth flooded. It is the same Spirit that spoke to Moses, who was a pagan at the time, when the bush was burning and talking to him. That's the same Spirit. It is the same Spirit that empowered a rod to open up the Red Sea and allow 3 million Hebrew children to go free. It is the same Spirit that empowered that same rod yet again to smack on a rock and water flowed. It is the same Spirit that spoke prophecies and destinies. It is the same Spirit that has spoken destiny into you and me. It is the same Spirit that resided in Christ when he was here on earth and he did great exploits and he loved so much. It is the same Spirit. And it's in us. Every single miracle, every single prophecy, every single good deed and work that you can find in the Bible is living, residing, breathing, taking residence in us as believers. We are not weak and feeble. We are mighty and powerful because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Do you believe it is the question? Because if you believed it, you would be doing great exploits for God. I want to challenge you to go further and harder and live on the edge of maybe. Stop trying to get your ducks in a row before you ever do anything great for God. Before you just take God at his word and say, well, in the name of Jesus, person in wheelchair, be healed. Or when you go out and you say, well, I think God's called me to China. But I want 5 prophecies, I want my fleece wet, and I want all this stuff. We've got to stop waiting on that stuff, because that's not really faith. It's an element, but the type of faith that causes God to respond is radical faith. And in my life, I've seen it. I've seen it time and time again when I've bothered to be bold enough. Bothered to get over myself, bothered to ignore my circumstances and do something that's totally out there. I want to share with you the story on how I got Reinhard Bonnke over here to New Zealand. It was quite an interesting story. See, a group of us had got together and formed a ministry called Momentum Ministries, which Don McDonnell down the back there is a part of. And he's a mighty man of God. I'm excited, bro. It's so good to see you. And I shared with him this really raucous vision. I was scared when I went into his office. God gave me a vision to see this nation one and a 4-point vision. And I thought, well, where do I start? And I felt God saying, well, go out and meet some key leaders. And so I didn't have a clue who were key leaders in this nation. So I just looked up directories and phone books and internet websites and tried to get a gauge. And Don was one name. And he was AOG, I saw, and my experience of AOG leaders is a little bit terrifying, to be honest. I went to Bible college, and I did my internship with AOG Church, and it was great, but, you know, it was kind of like, oh dear, and this guy's the vice superintendent. Okay, so I got a meeting with Don, and I went in there, and I was in fear and trembling, man. I was thinking, God, rapture me now with something, get me out of here, I am scared. The only time I'd ever met Donna, I didn't know this, was at an altar call many years ago, 12 years ago, in fact. And anyway, so I went in there and I thought, man, this guy's going to chew me out. He's going to eat me because the vision I had was so out there. So like, you know, who are you type of stuff to try and pull this off. Are you Paul De Jong? No. And I was thinking that type of stuff. And so I go in and I'm fear and trembling. And Don goes, hey, mate, how are you? And he gives me a hug and I'm like, oh, is this a trap? I know what this is. He's going to get me soft. And then he's got the bat behind the couch. He's going to hit me. And so I start sharing this vision with him. And Don's eyes get wider and wider. And he's like, wow, this is awesome, you know, type of stuff. And so I came away so encouraged that one person had grabbed a hold of it. And I went and started talking to other leaders about it. And as I started talking to other leaders, I found Don was a rarity. Because everyone else was telling me that it couldn't be done and it would never be done. And there's just no way in heaven or in hell that this could happen. Because one of my ones was to have Reinhard Bonnke here and so into this nation and other speakers that are of high caliber. And everybody asked my pedigree. Well, I don't really have one. I'm a first generation born again Christian. I don't go to any big AS church. I wasn't at the time, and I've just planted a small AS one now. In fact, and I had no pedigree. I had no right to dream a dream that big. That's what people were telling me. Dennis, you're joking. And I got told by these guys, we can't even get Reinhard Bonnke, man. Well, who do you think you are? And I just said, well, maybe God has said this, but I'm going to keep pressing on. And so I got some great ideas to get Reinhard Bonnke over, mate. Oh, this was the best one. I said, we'll petition him. Because everyone petitions on Facebook, right? And things happen. I've seen it all the time. You know, anyway, there's heaps of examples of petitions changing things in politics and stuff. So I thought, well, we'll petition him over. And one of our board members is also a personal friend of Reinhard Bonnke. And I will get him to personally invite him because that will work. We tried that. Well, that came up bad. The petition. We got thousands of signatures to have Reinhard Bonnke here in New Zealand. That didn't work either. I said, so we tried the back door. We've tried the side door. We'll try the front door, and we'll do it the right way. So we did it the right way. We went through his PA, and still nothing. Nada. The heavens were brass. And it was getting discouraging. But maybe. So we got around and we thought of another idea, and we contacted the Reinhard Bonnke Australian branch, and we started working with them to try and bring him over, but that was going nowhere. And one day I saw on a website, a random website, this ad that says, click here to get a free dinner with Reinhard Bonnke when he's in Australia and be at the front row of his seat in his conference. And I said, thus saith the Lord, I shall win this. Had no passport. I didn't know how I was getting there. Broke as you can get, but I'm going to win this thing. So anyway, I enter in, click on the link. It leads you to nowhere. There's no app to download to go into nothing. So I email these guys and say, listen here, turkeys, I'm winning this thing. But the problem is, there's nothing to download. I can't enter. So anyway, miraculously, somehow my emails go down for days and days and days. And they can't respond, so they write me a letter. And in this letter it says, Dennis, thank you for entering the draw. We've entered you in. Reinhard Bonnke will be in Australia here. These are the details. We're also looking to have him in Brisbane and Adelaide. And instantly something in my spirit said, why not here in New Zealand? Why not? Maybe. But then again, I was halfway through a process working with these guys, and I didn't want to act like one of those idiot super spiritual fruitcake loops that you know, kind of like, oh, God told me, and you know, so I thought I'd play it cool. And it just wouldn't leave me alone for days and days. It kept me awake, and it was just about 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and I emailed back and I said, would it be possible to have Reinhard Bonnke speak here in Auckland, New Zealand? I'm sure all the churches will want to get on board. I'm sure that we'll have a big event. I'm sure that it'll impact the nation. Would you be able to ask him? The next day I get an email saying, would you have him? Maybe. Maybe God's in this, but we got to take steps. We got to be bold. We got to be, see, Jonathan could have dreamed up in his head. He could have had a dream and, I just take out a whole gang of Philistines by myself. But it would have just gone to the grave, never spoken, never done nothing. But he believed in a God that could do great things and great exploits. And he said, maybe God's with us. And he went out and he took on a gang of Philistines and he won. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Stories like that, they inspire me. I remember going for Bible college. When I left for Bible college, I was a new Christian, born again 1 year. Rough as guts, man. Just absolutely just on the razor's edge. I could cut you just going near you. And God had called me to Bible college. The only problem was you needed seventh form to get in. You know, the problem is I'd failed school C twice and sixth form once, but I did it good, Toby. I know how to fail good. You know, it was spectacular. And so anyway, I went for the interviews down to Palmerston North, where I felt to go to Bible college. I was a Morrinsville boy. I knew nobody and nobody knew me. And so anyway, I go to the church and I get interviewed to do the internship. And Pastor Dennis Humphreys says, well, I'll give you a go. And so anyway, I had to move on Boxing Day after Christmas. I had absolutely no idea if I'd been accepted into Bible college, because they were only going to accept me in if there weren't enough people. And they were filled up at that stage. But I went on a maybe, on a hunch, on a maybe this is God. Maybe God wants me there. You know, there's some things falling into a line. I've never had God turn up with a big as angel dressed in white with some flaming great trumpet and go, bah, bah, bah. This is the word of the Lord, 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 for you, you today, day, day, Dennis, Dennis, Dennis. Never had it. It's always been a maybe. And so Boxing Day, still not sure if I'm going to Bible college or not. It could be a very short trip to Palmerston North. I was to know halfway through January. And so I move, I pack up everything. And this is the miraculous power of God. When you move on a maybe, God moves on a certainty. He backs you with everything in heaven when you move on a maybe. You see, because I needed $3,000 to get to this place and set up. I didn't have $3,000. I didn't have $2. I didn't have $1. I didn't have 50 cents. I wasn't like that famous rapper, 50 Cent. I didn't even have that, baby. I maybe had 10 cents. And I had all this gear left over from harness racing, all these carts and all these things. And it was like, I needed to get rid of them, sell them, and I needed $3,000. And I said to my dad, I said, we'll just let the people know in harness racing about this gear. We want $3,000. He said, you won't get $3,000 for that. You'll get $1,000. No, I need $3,000. And so he put it out there. And he went off. We were living at a farm at stage. And he went off on his motorbike. He wasn't going to church. He wasn't a practicing Christian. But he ended up going down the bike. And he said this prayer, which surprised him. He said, God, if this is your will, this gear will be sold by the time I get back. He was only gone for an hour. Well, and the phone rings. Some crazy guy down in the South Island wanted my gear for $3,000. And he was putting it in the bank account that night. My friends, God backs you when you work on a maybe. Who's got a maybe in this place? Who's got a maybe? Maybe God's called me to do this. Maybe when it comes to praying for people. And I've seen some radical miracles, especially of late. Back in the day, about 7 years ago, I'd pray for people, they die. I mean, it was bad back then, but it's good now. It's good now. I learned the principle of maybe. But every time I pray for someone to get healed, I don't have a full knowing in my spirit that person's going to get healed. Every time I prophesy, it's on a maybe. We tend to think that these supermen of God, the shirt-swinging Benny Hinn's and the German-speaking Reinhard Bonnke's and the American anointed preachers and all that type of stuff that we see, the Bill Johnsons and all the rest of them, we think, man, they got it together. I'd love to be like them. Do you know they just operate on a maybe? They don't know for sure. I've hung around with these guys. I've asked them. I asked Reinhard Bonnke when he was here in New Zealand. Reinhard Bonnke, what's the greatest key to success in ministry? He turned around at me and looked at me at the dinner table and said, "Well done us. The greatest key to success in ministry is faith and boldness, for without which you cannot do great exploits for God." Faith and boldness. He was telling me that he doesn't have a no for sure. He doesn't see the end result in his spirit. He doesn't have an absolute yes and amen in his heart when he steps out and does something great for God. He just operates on a maybe God is with us. Toby, maybe God is for you. Maybe. Well, we know that in the Word it says he is, so he is. We've got to start aligning ourselves with the Word of God. We may not know in ourselves, but the book says that God is for us. The book says if we step out in faith, if we ask for it in prayer, it shall be. And this is the story of my life. Every time I've worked out on a maybe. You know, it's interesting. There's been times in my life when we had Reinhard Bonnke over. It was an expensive affair. I knew it would be expensive. And wisdom would have said no because we were 4 weeks behind on the rent. We had no money for food and we had no support. Wisdom would have said, "Can it, Dennis?" And so many times when we go to step out for God, there'll be circumstances that will say no. But maybe. But maybe. And when you walk out on your maybe, know that God is for you and not against you. I love the armor bearer. This is why you need an armor bearer. Because Jonathan may have had a seed of doubt. The armor bearer said this: "Do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul." This is what I love about my friend Jeff. Everything that I wanted to do, he said to me in this church plant, "Go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul." We need people around us that say, "Go ahead with it, I'm with you heart and soul. Let's go do this together." And the story goes over and Jonathan says, "Come on then, we will cross over towards them and see. Let them see us. And if they say to us, 'Wait there and we'll come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up because this will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." Mate, this is pure craziness. Think about that logically. That doesn't make sense. And faith from the outside never makes any sense. Someone looking into your faith situation will look in and it won't make any sense at all to them. But don't allow their words of discouragement, don't allow their words of their experience to shape your faith. Allow the Word of God to shape your every experience. Come on, we've got to get into the Word and understand that, yeah, it may look stupid and crazy and dumb and daft to you, but I just have a maybe, and I know if I operate in the maybe, God will. A maybe for me is a yes from God. You know, just in closing up, I want to encourage you. My final point would be this: the devil is a toothless lion and a terrible liar. You see, it goes like this. Both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes that they're hiding in." And all the men on the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." Hundreds versus two. "We're going to teach you a lesson. Easy, meat baby." And this is how the devil wants to get into our minds, to make us think that we're insignificant, to make us think that we do not have the fullness of heaven behind us, to remind us of our past failings. I'm glad that God never looks at our past to determine our future. I'm glad that God said that he is for us and not against us. So when the enemy or well-meaning Christians or whatever starts saying negative things, start roaring like a toothless lion, I can say, "Ha ha, ha ha, greater is he who is in me." I might even say it like an African-American. I might go, "Ah-ha, ah-ha, Oh, greater, 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 greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And if God be for me, who could be against me? That's how I go in my spirit, because I tell you what, God has not given me a spirit of fear. No, I'm not timid. I'm as bold as a lion, because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. The devil is a toothless lion. He can gum you to death. Some of us have got to get rid of that sucker who's just gumming you to death, straining the life out of you. If your armor bearer is just a sucker, just this problem, that problem, just shoot him and be done with it, would you? Because you can't afford to have that. It's dead weight. Love him, but don't let him gum you. Okay. In our minds, we'll always be unqualified. Doubts, always. But faith says maybe, and God says yes to a maybe. God doesn't call the qualified. We often look for those that are qualified. I look for people that have a really crazy, outrageous dream and vision. But not just that, they're starting to walk out on it. Because in this room, there's heaps of you that probably have a dream and a vision, but you've never walked out on that maybe. Today is the day that you walk out on that maybe. Today is the day that you say, yes, I have a dream. You're like Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. Today is the day that you say, okay, maybe. And you watch, all hell will rail against you. Good. I could bore you with years of stories of trials, but I know that's just a byproduct of the maybe. Because it's the maybe that God says yes to. You want God to say yes to you? Operate in the maybe. All right, guys, almost done. Point five, our God is greater. You see, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hands, into the hands of Israel. See, if the devil's roaring at you, it's a sure sign you're heading in the right direction. If there's nothing but brass heavens and brass hell, then guess what? It's too easy. Think again. See, faith is not thinking about what you can do in your own natural circumstances. Faith is dreaming with the mind of God and believing for the impossible to become the possible. That's faith. Dreaming with God, the dreams of God, and believing for the impossible to become possible. It was impossible for me to have Reinhard Bonnke. They told me it was impossible to have Yongyi Cho. We got him. They said to me when I was a child, Dennis, it is impossible for you to become a singer or speak because your vocal cords are so bad that your vocal cords are going to snap in half. Dennis, it's impossible for you to ever succeed because you failed school seed twice and sixth form once. Dennis, it's impossible for you to do this. Dennis, it's impossible. Every time I hear it's impossible, a voice inside of me says, possible. And this defiance just rises up in me, some type of rebellious attitude. Stuff you. It's possible. It's possible. We've got to stop listening to other people's opinions and start seeing what the Lord says in the Word. Come on. It's possible. What is it that's in your heart? What is it? Because our God is greater. Jonathan climbed up using his hands. And he goes up there. It's funny that he was in a hole. Usually before your breakthrough, this is my experience, Toby, but let this be encouragement to you. Before your greatest great breakthrough, you're in the biggest hole. Your biggest hole. That encourages me because I've been in a lot of holes. Just being honest. If you want to see the greatness of God explode out of your life, get ready to be in some holes and be happy with it. Because it's a sure sign Don't quit. Don't quit. I love Facebook that shows all those memes of people that quit and walk away, and the gems are right there. They just had to go one more time. One more time. This is an encouragement for someone here. One more time. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Don't quit. Don't stop. I've got a guy in America, that Mike Francine guy. He says, if you ever, ever quit ministry, I'm going to get on the first plane and kick your ass. So I don't quit. Because he's got a big boot. I don't quit. Because I've seen time and time again God come through in the most difficult, darkest situations. I've seen it in the book and I've proved it in my life. We must never be quitters. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you quit, you are living in fear. Someone else has given us a spirit of fear, but he's given one of love, power, and sound mind, the mind of Christ. Don't quit. Resurrection power. Don't quit, Dennis. Don't quit, Jeff. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Never, never, ever, ever give up. Why? Because if our God is for us, who can be against us? You see, Jonathan, he was able to move out in faith because he had seen the miracles God had done through his father, through David. He had used the miracles that he had seen in the book. He had used the miracles of other people around his life and in his life to propel him to the next level of faith. My friends, where your faith is today, it can go higher, further, and farther, more than you could ever, ever imagine, because it's from glory to glory. We're never to be satisfied where we're at today with faith. We've got to challenge ourselves to go higher. How do we do that? We look at the miracles in our lives. We look at the miracles that we've experienced or people have experienced, and we use them as stepping stones to propel us into the all things of God. We've got to become people of faith. We've got to become people that are dogmatic, that are like bulldog tenacity. If no, get stuffed, devil. You say that's impossible. I say possible because our God is greater. You know, the end of the story, Jonathan climbs up with his armor bearer following him behind him. It's such a cool picture, my friends. Jonathan's in the hole. He climbs up from a dark place, from a bad place. You know, it was in sand that could have caved in and killed him. There was all sorts of worries going on. And he climbs up, he scurries up, and he's got his little sword up there. It looks like Frodo Baggins and Samwise Scanji from Lord of the Rings. And he's up there, and he gets up, and he goes, and he charges towards the Philistines. Armor bearer behind him. I got your back. I got your back. You see, and so they run in and they start slewing all these Philistines. And the Bible says that within that area, more than 25 people fell. And you know what the fun thing is about this? Is when you go on a maybe, you're going to be alone. Maybe you'll have an armor bearer. Maybe you won't. Try and have an armor bearer. But it's just you and the armor bearer. The fun thing is the story goes on just in finishing. All of a sudden, camp, church, prosperity, protection, all that stuff. Look over, and they see a ruckus. And they look over, and they go, "Dear Lord, what's going on over there? They're all in confusion and killing each other. Hey, Jonathan, come check. Where's Jonathan?" Saul, it's Jonathan and his armor bearer. And all of a sudden, the rest follow. The rest come, and they clean out the entire garrison. Because one man operated on a maybe. He'd seen the miracles in his life. He used that as a stepping stone. And he went out and he possessed the land. One person. One person with an armor bearer. Who's that one around here? Good. I am too. I'm going to share with you later on this afternoon a vision for this nation. Last couple of months ago, we went and did a tent meeting in Gisborne, right in the middle of the mongrel mob patch, and we saw all heaven break loose. And I want to tell you about that. And I want to encourage you some more. Anyone encouraged here? Anyone going to get up and go on a maybe? What is a maybe? It may be to us, but it's a yes from God. Come on. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are a good God and you back us when we go out. Father, I pray that today that there will be an army raised up of maybes. Faith that will move mountains and see the circumstances in their lives, see their community and their city and their nation change by one act of a maybe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God.